If you have your Bible there in Matthew chapter 9, we'll read just a few verses. I'd like to ask you to stand in honor of reading the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, we'll begin reading verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." With the Lord's help this evening, I'd like to bring a message with this thought entitled in verse number 38. You know, there's many names that we give for the Lord, but I love this name. It's not very much emphasized in verse number 38, the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Would you go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll ask him to speak to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful tonight that we can come to Thee and know that we can find all that we need, no matter what it is, what our need might be tonight. I'm thankful that You can meet it. And Lord, I thank You for Your people that is here tonight, and I thank You for this pastor and this church and what it means and represents. I thank You for the people that they support and just the work that You are doing in this place, and it's what an encouragement it is. But Father, now as we come to You and come to Your Word, we pray that You would help us, Lord. We can't understand Your Word without You. And so I pray that for the next few minutes of time that You would remove distractions, that You would just bind the devil, Lord. And I pray that You would open our eyes that we might see Thee. And I pray You'd open our ears that we might hear Thy voice as we heard challenged us this morning. And Lord, help us not just to be hearers, though, but doers of Thy Word. Lord, help us not to deceive ourselves this evening. And Lord, go away unchanged. But I pray that Your Holy Spirit would have freedom to work in every heart, including my own, Lord. And so we yield ourselves to Thee, and we look forward to what You're going to do now. And we thank You for it. Lord, I pray You'd hide me behind Your cross, Lord, and just You cover me up. And I pray that You alone, Father, You alone would be seen. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. You know, in our country, there's quite a phenomenon that's going on, and I don't know if you've maybe paid attention to it, and I'm sure it's probably the same way around here as it's been in other parts of our country, but there's, if you go to a store or maybe a fast food place or someplace like that, you'll find that there's a lot of signs that have been posted recently, signs of "now hiring." Anyone seen that recently? Yeah, or signs of "help wanted," you know, and it's interesting because sometimes we don't fully appreciate those signs until maybe you're in a position where you feel that a little bit of the experience of that. My wife and I, we were on our honeymoon, and we were at a restaurant there, and there's probably about 50 people in the sit-down restaurant, and there was only two waitresses in the whole restaurant. So you can use your imagination there, some of the how they were just very stressed and a little just, you know, they were very tired, as you can tell, and just it's crazy. But anyway, you can just tell that there's this worker shortage going on in our country, and I think I read something in August not too long ago that was talking about how in August alone, there was 4.3 million people that left their jobs just in that one month of this year. And for whatever reason, whether it's related to the pandemic or better jobs or that kind of thing, there's a worker shortage that's going on in our country. And what's happened is that because of that, all these jobs that are that do have the remaining workers, there's a greater burden that's there. There's a greater strain that's placed on those workers. And so, but you know, what's amazing tonight is that there is a greater need for workers, and that is in heaven's economy. And what I mean by that tonight is that, you know, what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, let's look at it again if you would. The Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And friends, I want to tell you tonight that there is a great dearth of workers around the world for the cause of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse number 15, I read the verse 14 a moment ago, but in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." In other words, there's only two ways to live your life. You can either live your life for Christ, or you can live your life for yourself. Let me say again, there's only two ways to live your life tonight. You can either live your life for Christ, or you can live your life for yourself. Let me ask you a question. Which one are you? You know, I know all of us, I'm thankful that you're here tonight, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's not by accident that you're here. You know, the pastor preached this morning a challenging message about the shepherd. The shepherd has a purpose for every one of his sheep. You know, he does. In fact, hold your finger there. We'll come back in just a moment. Turn over to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. You know, oftentimes whenever I'm at churches and preach different things, the Lord reminds me that there's different calls in the Christian life. There's the first call of salvation, and God is calling all people to be saved. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he says, "Whosoever will may come." He's issuing a call to the ends of the earth for people to be saved. There's also a call to surrender, a call to surrender and to yield your life. And after we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for our soul salvation, I believe that there should come a time in our life where we surrender our life to God. We say, "God, whatever you want to do with my life." You know, I think the saddest thing outside of a soul that dies and goes to hell without Jesus is for someone that claims to know Christ as their Savior and yet lives their life for themselves. They live their entire life just for them. And friends, there must come a point in our life when we surrender all and follow Christ. You know, the Bible describes this, and we won't take time to look there, Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, it says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I've been thinking about that lately. You know, a sacrifice was something that was a part of worship. They would bring in the lambs to the temple. I didn't see anyone bring a lamb in this evening, but that was part of the normal thing that would happen in the Old Testament. And the reason they did that was to show the forecoming of Christ and the sacrifice that was necessary. And what's interesting is that we're not sacrificing ourselves for our sins, but God wants us to surrender our life. He wants to yield our life to Him. You know, what's amazing to me is that Jesus gave up His life for us, didn't He? Amen. He died on the cross to take our place. You know, is it too much for Him to ask for us to be willing to give up our life to follow Him? To give up our life, to give up our conveniences, to give up the things that we deem most precious in our life? And I'm not saying that whenever you follow the Lord that everything's just going to be awful. It's not. My wife and I have had such a joy in serving Christ. What I am saying is that God knows so much better than we do. When we learn to submit and yield to Him and follow His plan for our life, oh, what joy. If you got your Bible there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9, like if you look there, the Bible says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Then verse number 9, I love this. He says, "Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." In other words, that Christ has saved you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life? Are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? And it's interesting that it says there, it says, "not according to our own purpose." It's not according to our works, excuse me. It's not what we try to do. But rather, what does God want to do through us? Well, what does the Lord want to accomplish with our life? Not what we can accomplish, but God, what do you want to accomplish with my life? We must surrender to the Lord. We must serve the Lord. And turn back over now, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9 again. And in this passage of Scripture, I believe we have one of the greatest problems in world evangelism and missions. And that's a labor shortage. But you know what's interesting? As I mentioned earlier in my testimony, if we're not careful, we can get our eyes on the labor shortage. You know, and I hope tonight, I don't want this message to be a discouragement. I hope it's an encouragement. I hope the Lord to use it to be an encouragement to you. But what God wants us to do, all of us, is to get our eyes off of everything else and get our eyes back on Him. He wants us to get our eyes fixed on who He is. You know, my life verses, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, it's interesting when you run with patience. A lot of times we think of running, we think of getting to point A to point B as fast as possible, right? Yeah, we're trying to hurry, we're trying to get somewhere. But when we run with patience, it's like thinking of a marathon. You keep pressing on. It takes time. And it says the next part there in verse number 2, I love that. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You know, it's interesting, that word "looking" literally has the idea of taking your eyes off of everything else and fixing them on one thing. Fixing them on one thing. That's the Lord. Friend, I wonder tonight, are your eyes on Jesus? Are your eyes on Him? Look back in your text, if you would, there in Matthew chapter 9. There's a couple things I like to bring out from this passage of Scripture. And the first is, as we think about the saw of the Lord of the harvest, the first is that of the Lord of the harvest. And we see underneath this the ministry of the Lord. Look at verse number 35 again. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Notice it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages." I mean, think about our Lord and the harvest field here. There was not a certain area that the Lord left untapped. He wasn't a respecter of persons. He sought to reach all people. He wanted to minister to everyone. You know, if we're honest, deep down within ourselves, there's a certain bit of bias in all of us. You know, I'm guilty, and maybe you are the same way. Well, I'll go to someone who's more dressed nicer, or I'm not as afraid of, you know, not as scary, and I try to talk to him about the Lord. But God cares about all people. He cares about the Muslim people. He cares about every single person. And his ministry is not limited. And so he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom. It's interesting, he taught. It was a teaching ministry. He taught them the truth. He taught them the word of God. It was a preaching ministry. He preached, you know, he preached the gospel. And it was a healing ministry. It was a ministry that was dealt with the miraculous. And although we don't see the miraculous in a certain sense like they did in the first century, we still see what God was trying to accomplish, you know, what God was trying to do. You know, what's amazing to me is that there's, look at verse number 37, though. In verse number 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know, the problem was not with the harvest. If we're not careful, we can make excuses to think that, well, people aren't getting saved today, or God's not working, or it just seems like all the world is going to pieces. But you know what's interesting here is that the Lord says the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. And the problem is not with the harvest, but notice the next part, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. You know, the problem is with the laborers. It's the problem with the laborers. There's a lack of them. There are people that are dying and going to hell and that need the Lord. But notice, I love how the Lord gives the answer, verse number 38. Verse number 38, it says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." He will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, friends, I believe that what God wants to accomplish, that we need to try to get in on what God is trying to accomplish in this world, don't you? Amen. Yes. We need to try to get in on what God is doing, what the Lord is trying to accomplish. I'd like for you to hold your finger there and turn over to Exodus chapter 6, if you would. Exodus chapter 6. It's kind of an odd passage to parallel with this. I love this passage of Scripture in Exodus. The Bible talks about the man Moses. And I love Moses. Moses is such an interesting character, you know. He was someone that God greatly used in a mighty way, but he was someone who was a person just like you and I are. He was a human being. And human beings have problems, don't they? Yeah. How many of you have a problem tonight? Would you raise your hand? Amen. All right. The rest of you who didn't raise your hand, you're being dishonest, right? We all have problems. We all have issues. And Moses, although God used him in a mighty way, he had a lot of problems. He had a lot of troubles. And what's interesting to me, and I love in this passage of Scripture, is that Moses, we kind of see Moses in a human light. We won't take the time to read all the verses, but in Exodus chapter 5, we'll start in verse number 1 there. It says, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword.' And the king of Egypt said to them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?'" And what happens now, to kind of paraphrase a little bit what takes place the rest of the chapter, is that an already bad situation gets a whole lot worse. God had told Moses and Aaron to go before the king of Egypt and to command that he would let the children of Israel go. And now when he refused, they told the people to not give them straw, to make their lives more difficult. They would still have to try to make the brick and the work there. And so now things are getting more difficult. They weren't able to meet the demands. Now they're getting beaten. And things are just falling apart. You know, you ever felt that way? Things are falling apart. Well, you know, it's interesting is that the leaders of Israel, they try to make a plea for Pharaoh, and they come back to Moses. And look at verse number 20, Exodus chapter 5. Verse number 20, it says, "And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said to them, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us.'" And notice this, "And Moses returned unto the Lord. And said, 'Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.'" Wow, that was quite a claim. You know, it's interesting. Moses was doubting the character of God. Look at it again, verse number 22. It says, he returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people?" He accused God of doing something evil. Huh. My Bible says that God is good, amen? Amen, yes, the Lord is good. He's eternally good. You know, it's interesting, though. I think all of us, if we were honest, in our deep secret hearts, we've had questions about God's motives. We've wondered about what God was doing. I don't want you to raise your hand tonight, but I can't help but think that maybe all of us in this room in the past year and a half or 2 years have at one point over this time frame wondered what God was doing in this world. I said, "God, I don't understand." That's where Moses was. Look at the next part. And out of that, he began to doubt God's plan. He said, "Why is it that thou hast sent me?" It's like, "Lord, what are you doing? Why am I here?" Look at verse 23. "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he had done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Lord, I'm starting to wonder if you're really able to do this. He doubted God's power. Now, friends, I've heard it say that it's wrong to question God, but here we have a man that God greatly used questioning God. You know, I don't think it's wrong if we have questions about what God is doing. It's what do we do with those questions? You know, the Bible says here that Moses returned to the Lord. He came back to God. You know, what's interesting is that when Moses came to the end of himself, when he came back to God with his problem, look at what God says in Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 1. You got it there? Exodus chapter 6, verse number 1. This is what the Lord's response to this prayer, this heartfelt plea from Moses at the end of this chapter. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh.'" It's like God was sitting back in heaven and he was waiting for Moses to come back to him with this problem and to give up. He's like, "All right, Moses, are you done? Are you done trying to figure this out? Are you done trying to deliver the children of Israel on your own? All right, now I can do my work." And friends, I want to tell you tonight, You know, when we think about world evangelism, that's just one aspect and application, okay? And the need of the harvest, and that's the big burden that's on my heart tonight. There's such a great need for laborers, and I struggled with that. And just, oh, we're praying, we're believing God's going to send forth more laborers into His harvest. But God must do His work. Oh, don't miss this tonight. If we're going to see the world reach for Christ, if we're going to see God do a work in this world, we have to understand what we cannot do. We've got to be willing to get out of the way. We've got to be willing to die. We've got to be willing to surrender. We've got to be willing to make ourselves a living sacrifice and lay ourselves out on the altar and lay our problems out on the altar and say, God, I can't do it, but I know You can. I trust that Thou art able. And friend, I want to remind you tonight that our God has not changed. He is ever the same. Aren't you grateful for that? I'm thankful the Lord doesn't abandon us when we're weak or tired or frail or foolish, you know? Sometimes we use that as an excuse not to come to God. Say, well, I'm too tired, Lord. I'm too foolish. I'm too unworthy. You know how God knows our need and how much we need Him. You know what the devil's goal is? The devil wants to do anything and everything he can to keep people from coming to Jesus. That's what his goal is. And you know what? He'll convince his own children. Say, oh, no, you can't come to God. You can't come to God. You haven't been in church in so long. It's just no use. You've messed up too many times. No, friend. I'm so thankful tonight that the invitation is still open, aren't you? Jesus said, whoso cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wow. That's an amazing blessing, isn't it? And if you take God up on that offer, He'll meet you. You know, it's amazing. The evangelist D.L. Moody, he said, you know, God will never send anyone away empty except those that are full of themselves. You know, the only reason why God can't meet our need is because we don't come to Him to meet our need. It's because we don't respond, you know. It's just like what the pastor preached this morning about the shepherd and the sheep. You know, the best shepherd in all the world can take a sheep to the greenest, finest pasture, but if his sheep refuse to eat it, it's not the shepherd's fault. But why would a sheep refuse what the shepherd has to offer? Maybe because they don't trust their shepherd. Maybe because there's unbelief there. Oh, friend, I love what the Bible says here. He says, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. I don't know about you, I want to see what only God can accomplish with my life, don't you? I want to see what God can do in this world. Not just in my own life personally, but in this world and reaching people for Christ. I think about where God has called my wife and I, and I think about the need for laborers. And my heart breaks, folks. I'm honest. My heart breaks when I think about the lack of laborers and the need. But God humbly reminds me that I can't do it. But I'm thankful I don't have to. You know, David Livingston, he was a pioneer missionary to the heart of Africa there back in the 1800s. And he said this, and it really stuck with me. He said, Christ alone can save the world, but Christ can't save the world alone. He wants to use us. He wants to use us. Friends, I want to just look at this passage just real quickly, Exodus 6. Just a couple things real quick here I want to bring out, and then we'll close. Just as an encouragement that the Lord reminded Moses of here, in order to see what he could do. And the first thing, notice verse number 2, he reminded Moses of who God is. Look at verse number 2. And God spake unto Moses and said to him, this is how I'm going to deal with Pharaoh. Is that what the Bible says? No. You know, it's interesting to me where God begins. God doesn't begin with Moses' problem. Look at again, verse number 2. And God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. God always begins with Himself. And friend, I want to remind you tonight, if you're struggling with a problem, if there's a Pharaoh, and maybe there's some issue that's going on, I don't know. I don't know who's here. I don't know the hearts that are heavy here tonight. God is able to meet your need. He is able to meet your need. He has not left, okay? He has not been voted out of office from heaven. He's still on the throne. And He's almighty, He's all powerful, and He can and will meet your need tonight if you'll let Him. He is who He says He is. Look at verse number 3, though. I love this. He reminded Moses that he had not changed. He is still God. But also, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. He's the same God as his forefathers. He hadn't changed. He had worked the same God in the past, the same God he was then. But by my name, Jehovah, was it not known to them? I love this. He wanted to reveal himself to Moses in a personal way. Friend, our God has not changed one iota. He is the great eternal God. He is the forever eternal, and he cannot change. I am the Lord, I change not. But you know what's sad is that there's so many Christians, there's so many people that claim to be children of God, and yet they do not know their God. They do not know him. And I'm not talking about they don't know about him. I'm talking they don't know him. They don't know that they know him. That personal relationship and the depths of their knowledge of God meaning something to them. You know, what's sad is that there's a great generation gap that I find that's happening in churches, and people of my generation and under who are graduating and going off to schools are leaving churches at alarming rates. And it's a sad thing. But one of the things that God brought to mind, I believe one of the reasons for that, is because I think that those people have not made God, their parents' God, their God. Friend, is God real to you tonight? Is he your God? See, whatever your problem, whatever your need is tonight, God has allowed that so he can reveal himself to you in a personal way. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So the question is, you know, why does it seem like some people are drawn closer to God and others are farther away? You know, what's interesting is that after God gives Moses this challenge to encourage the children of Israel, look at verse number 9. He gives it, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses. You know, what's sad is that, you know, God doesn't change. His word will never change. Amen. I'm thankful for that. But we still have a personal responsibility if we're going to believe him, if we're going to come to him, if we're going to trust him, or if we're not. And friend, all I say this is that God is still the same. He hasn't changed whatsoever. He's going to accomplish that which he plans to. You know, instead of us trying to get God in on what we're doing, why don't we try to get on what God is doing in this world? Amen? That's what my prayer is for my wife and I, that God would help us to get in on what he is doing in this world. Because if I try to do something, it's just going to end up in a mess. A big mess. You just ask my wife. But I'm thankful that when we get in on what God is doing, when we come to Christ, oh, he'll meet your need. Really, the invitation is just simple tonight. Look at verse number 22, chapter 5 again. He says, and Moses returned unto the Lord. I heard someone say once, a preacher, he said, the Christian life is a series of returnings, of coming back to God. Coming back to God. We keep coming back to the Lord. We keep coming to the Lord. You know, turn over, you can leave Exodus there, and turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. This is going to be one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And we'll close with this tonight. But I want to bring this out to you, because these verses are just as real today as they were 2,000 years ago. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He's speaking to these people, and it gives a wonderful invitation. And listen to it. In verse number 28, in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, it's true that the Christian life does have challenges and there are trials. What's amazing to me, though, is that Jesus said that his yoke was easy. Your friend, you don't have to face that stuff in your own strength. You don't have to do it on your own. You know, it's crazy, though. We want the rest that Jesus gives, but sadly, we don't want, verse number 29, we don't want his yoke upon us. You know what a yoke was? It was just really something that they put around the neck just to be able to, for the oxen to be able to plow. And so it was something that held them so that they could do the work. But oftentimes they would do it in pairs. What Jesus is saying, he said, take my yoke upon me. He's like, get in the yoke with me and let me bear your burdens and I'll give you rest. And friends, whenever you find that you come to Jesus as you are and you submit and you yield, and you surrender, and you take that yoke upon you, you find that he meets right where you're at. You know, I've claimed for a verse this year, Galatians 2:20. And some of you, you might know it by heart. He says, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the wonderful, beautiful thought is that Jesus, he died in our place, amen, to save us from eternal death. But you know what? He also desires to save us by his life. He wants to live in our place if we'll let him. And friends, if we take up this invitation to come to him, no matter what your need is tonight, whether it's you're struggling with some kind of sin, maybe you're struggling about surrendering to the Lord, maybe you feel like God is calling you to a certain part of the world to serve him and tell others about the Lord, you know, whatever it is, you come to him and he'll show you what to do. Maybe you've got some fear, anxiety. I don't know how this problem is going to work out. I don't know how this situation is going to work out. Come to the Lord and find rest. He's calling you tonight. You know, one of the other calls I didn't mention, I talked about the calls of the Lord, and the one I left out was one that, you know, the Lord wanted to do on purpose. But it's, I think, one of the most neglected calls, and that's what it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, where the Lord called his disciples. He said he ordained 12 that they should be with him. You know, friend, the Lord wants you to be with him. Are you living with Jesus? Are you following him? Are you letting him live his life through you? Well, I hope you are. There's a great need for laborers around the world. Would you follow the Lord?